Anyway, she was listening to them hoop and cough because of heavy smoking. So she told me that she had decided she wanted to quit, and that she was on her last pack, you know, and to pray for her that she could, you know, hold to it. So, Lord, I just thank you for, you know, dealing with my daughter's heart. Neither one of them, they're living together, but they're not married. And, of course, you know, I don't want that. I want them to be married if they're going to live together. So, Lord, I just pray that you can fix the both of them. They'll do what's right and pleasing in your eyes, and that you'll continue to draw them, Lord, to you, and save them and bring them to the knowledge of the truth of what's going on and how close we are to the tribulation. And so that's my prayer request, and my praise report is to hear her even say that she's willing to give cigarettes up. That's a blessing to me. So that's my praise report and my prayer request. Thank you.
Okay, Kurt, you want to pray for that lady, and we'll believe with you?
Okay, I can't remember the lady's name, but Lord, you know her name, and you know her situation, and you know her needs physically and spiritually also, Lord. So I just lift her up to you, that you would heal her body, her mind, and bring her son lives there with her. He's got diabetes, and I think they've already taken off one toe off of one of his feet. And Lord, I just I pray for the both of them, and that Lord, you'll bring them into the kingdom fully, and heal her in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Kurt, and we believe this is going to happen in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Thanks, Chris. Anyone else? What about a praise report or a testimony? Anything. Just whatever you want to share.
Hey, Michael.
Okay, Kurt. Go ahead, brother.
I'm sorry. I got one more prayer request. Darvin was out on his truck today, or yesterday, I guess it was. And when I came back in, he had the truck parked there with the hood up, and he was telling me that the battery and the radiator both were making, you know, bubbling noises and whatever, and he didn't know what was going on, so we both prayed over the truck. But I'd like for us to just agree in prayer that God would heal his truck. I mean, there ain't nothing, you know, that God can't do. And Darvin needs his truck to deliver those books and, you know, to go back and forth to the store when he needs whatever he needs. And, so, Lord, I just lift Darvin's truck up to you, that you would take care of whatever the problem is with it, and that if Darvin's in any kind of rebellion or sin, that you would reveal that to him, that he could repent, and this curse wouldn't be upon him. And I just thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for fixing Darv's truck in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else?
Angelica?
Yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
I'd just like a prayer of agreement for my finances. I went to a four-year college, and I, you know, before I understood the principles of what the Bible says concerning finances and giving and receiving and all of those wonderful things. So I've been praying for the Lord to help me with some school loans, whether it be a creative miracle or just however he might want to do that, if I could just get a prayer of agreement.
Okay. Well, Lord, we just thank you for taking care of all of that for Angelica. Show her how to do it, Lord, or just show it up in money, you know. Let her get things paid off, Father, and let her get things Let her get ahead in this walk that she's doing, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord. You've done it for so many other people. And we thank you that Angelica's going to be free from all of that in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord, because we know it's happening. It is happening in Jesus' name. You believe that, Angelica?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. Me too. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else?
Hello, Michael. I would just like to give a praise report. Our garden has just been wonderful this year, and just thank the Lord because we know that He is the one that causes it to produce like it does. And we've been able to, we have plenty for ourselves and to give to our friends and our neighbors, and we've been given to the rescue mission too. So it's been awesome. I brought in a tomato today that was 15 and a half ounces. That's a pretty nice sized tomato. And also we've had over 5 gallon bucket of green beans the last 4 weeks in a row. So I would just thank the Lord.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. Our sweet potatoes are great. And I mean, everything's just really doing pretty good. So we just thank the Lord because we know it's from Him.
Amen. Yep. We've had an excellent garden this year too. And it's been really, really nice. Thank you, Lord.
It's nice when you can bless somebody else that doesn't have a garden or theirs didn't do so well.
Amen. Yep. Sure does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all have any purple hull peas planted? People don't know about purple hull peas and how great they are. Fresh. Ooh, I'm talking about good. Good gracious. Y'all quit planting all them other kind of beans and peas if you ever tasted any purple hull peas. Now, I'm just saying that. I'm just an old Arkansas boy. I don't know much, but I know what tastes good. And that tastes good. I tell you what we did this year. I planted, I don't know how many feet it was, probably 30 feet of purple hull peas two times. So I had about 60 feet of them, 60 foot a row. And man, it just turned to peas for us. We got so many peas off that thing. Yeah, it was awesome. God is good. When you ask God to bless your garden, He'll do it. Won't it gain old? He'll do it. It's awesome.
That's got to be a southern thing because we don't even know what that kind of a pea is up here.
Yeah, I know. People in Tennessee don't know that kind of a pea either. I don't know if it's just a... I don't know. I know that back in Arkansas, they sell as good as strawberries. That's how good they are. So anyway, they're good. Always bought the pink eye purple hull and planted those because they're the best tasting. It's a southern pea. It's like a black-eyed pea, but it tastes a lot better than a black-eyed. And you pick them when the hulls turn purple. That's why they call them purple hull peas. After they turn purple, you can pick them, and they're easy to shell, and just stick them on the stove for about 15 minutes. And man, what you talking about? You got yourself a mess, a good eating. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to share? I did want to read this latest Mentally Graben vision that she had. She said, a couple of weeks ago, I was given what I call a Daniel-type vision. I say this because most of the dreams and visions that Lord gives me are direct, without too much symbolism. This was not the case with this one. So pray for wisdom and discernment as I did regarding what I'm about to share. She said it was about the fourth watch, and I went into a vision. In it, I saw three buildings. All three were made exactly the same. The only difference was their height. On the top floor of the shortest building sat Erdogan. He was representing Turkey. On the top floor of the middle building sat Putin, representing Russia. The tallest building represented the United States, but there was no one seated at the top floor. There were people in the building, all U.S. citizens, but no one was representing us. How many of you know that for 8 years we haven't had a leader? All of a sudden, there was an explosion in two of the buildings, the one for Turkey and the one for Russia. The explosions happened at the top of the buildings. I wasn't aware of any casualties, but the buildings themselves sustained great damage. I then heard Putin and Erdogan talking. They were angry. It was then that I realized that we, the United States, were being blamed for the explosions. However, we weren't the cause of it. Next, Putin formed an alliance with Erdogan, and they called to other buildings to stand with him. I wasn't given the names of the people or countries in the other buildings, but it was only a couple more that joined in. Together, they began to make plans to bomb our building and march in to take our people. And my vision then ended. And if you don't, she goes on, she says, if you don't already know, World III has already begun. The media has just been covering it up with things like the Brexit, the elections, scandals, and reality TV. The fact is, Putin has recently made several threats and then has moved on them. And in the process, he has warned the United States not to stand in his way. I also found out through research that Russia has rebuilt their alliance with Turkey after their recent failed coup. There have been many dream visions and prophetic words from people like David Wilkerson and Dmitry Dudeman who have seen Russia invade the U.S. In October of last year, 2015, the Lord showed me a map of Israel and Iran. He instructed me to begin to pray because Israel was going to strike Iran. He said war is about to begin. And I asked the Lord, what war? And he responded with Gog and Magog. After this, I went through a period of 3 days of dreams where I saw warplanes, bombers, and fighters, and jets being launched in various places, including the United States. I also saw missiles being dropped on us. I want to speak on another thing that I heard 2 nights ago. It was an odd thing to hear, yet clear as day. In the spirit, I heard, tell the Queen that in 40 days, great change is coming to the UK. Now, this was on the 7th, so that would have been on the 5th that she heard that, 40 days. Now, I know I don't have access to the Queen of England, laugh out loud, but I understood that the change wasn't for good. There's a great shift coming to that area that will impact them in a major way, even their way of living. And that's the end of that. And the reason I read that, hang on just a second. It looks like that we're going to be having a financial collapse as well as everything else going on, you know. We found out that Saudi Arabia is demanding gold or silver for our Navy ships overseas to fill up with. They won't take U.S. dollars anymore. And on the 27th or 30th, I don't remember which one it is, a lot of countries are going to switch from the dollar to something else. And that's going to put a hurt on the U.S., and that may be a collapse, and it may be a reason for the to get your money out of the banks, you know, before then. If you've got any money in the banks, you know, before that time, I know, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but if it does, at least you'll have what cash you need on hand to last a while. If you're like me, I just get my old $2 out of there, and that's it, you know. But if you've got a substantial amount in there, you might ought to think about getting it out. Ask the Lord what he wants you to do, you know. That's what we do. We ask the Lord.
Hey, Brother Michael.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Julie. Hey,
yeah.
Michael, do you have anything like a link, an email, or not an email, but a web link on that, what you just said about the dollar and the other countries?
I do.
That.
I do.
Can you forward that? I would like to read it myself.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it right now. If you could just make a note to do
it. Well, I've got it right here.
Okay.
September the 20th. All you got to do is go to YouTube and type in September the 27th, 2016 dollar crash. And all kinds of stuff will come up. Yeah, they've been foreseeing this for quite some time, the money people have. And you won't see it in mainstream news, but you see it on the internet. So, you know, don't know if it's going to happen. I tend to believe it is because of what Saudi Arabia has done, and more countries are just going to follow suit. They're demanding gold and silver instead of dollar bills. They ain't going to take that anymore. They ain't going to take a check on the U.S. And that's because they're having trouble. So, just be ask the Lord what he wants you to do. You know, if you got a substantial amount in the bank, get them out. If that's what he wants you to do, ask him. Otherwise, you'll be coming out here on a wing and a prayer. I'm just saying, you know. But if you're like me, you don't have to worry about it, praise God, because I just let the Lord just provide whatever he needs, you know. But I know some of you have sold houses and sold property and have a little bit of money here and there, and you need to protect it if you can. Amen. All right, anybody got any comments? Boy, I tell you what, I was telling them earlier, I was handling some jalapenos this afternoon, throwing them in a freezer bag, and I rubbed my nose. Don't do that. Don't do that. It hurts. I'm telling you. It will hurt. But I'm getting better. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead.
I got scripture, and I got this two times today. It's Jeremiah 3, verses 11 to 15. And the Lord said unto me, backsliding Israel has showed herself more righteous than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, you backsliding Israel, says the Lord. I will not look in anger upon you, for I am merciful, says the Lord. I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord thy God, and has scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, says the Lord. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am a husband unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Amen. That's a good one.
Amen. I got it twice today.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm over here sneezing and just I'm in a trial here. Praise God. Okay. Marlene, can you tell us what you think it what it's talking about there? I know it's pretty plain, but just go ahead and try to give us a synopsis there.
Yeah, you know, his people have misbehaved, and I guess they're, well, he said that Israel has shown herself more righteous than treacherous Judah, so I guess just she's trying to make up for it, and he just asks, all he asks is that we just acknowledge our sins. And that we've come against the Lord, and he's asking us to come back. And then he's our husband, and he'll give us shepherds according to his heart, and we'll learn from them. Amen. I think you're on mute.
I sure am. What I was talking about was... I think he's talking about people that have factioned out, you know, and they're coming back, and he just told them, you know, just repent and come on back, said everything will be fine, you know. There's certain things that they'll have to do, and one of them is to repent and humbly repent and come on back, and I think they'll be fine. I do. All of us have to go through trials, and it's just a process, praise God. But I think that's what he's talking about, them factious people that have left and gone to other idols, and then he's coming back. He's telling me, if you'll just come on back, you know, everything will be fine. All right, anybody else?
Hello, Michael. I'll share the verse that I got by random this morning. The one I got was from Isaiah chapter 40, and my finger was on verse 6, but I would like to read from 6 through verse 8. The voice of one saying, cry, and one said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the breath of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass where withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And in this chapter, there's just many just wonderful verses, but I believe that in this portion right here, it's really speaking of his people dying to self. And I believe where it says, because the breath of the Lord bloweth upon it. It's those trials that come our way, and we are to die to self. And sometimes that is just really hard, but we're to stand on his word. It says, the word of our God shall stand forever. And I just think that is really the comforting part. His word doesn't change. It is the same forever. And then a few verse, well, on verse 10, it says, behold, the Lord will come as a mighty one, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arm and carry them in his bosom, and will gently lead those that have their young. And I think that really went with what Marlene got. Anyway, I thought they kind of were speaking of the same thing, that the Lord really wants us to get ourselves right with him and die to self and obey his word. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I got a word I can share. If you can hear
okay,
me.
Good deal.
This is what the Lord gave me. It's Proverbs for the body. It's just... sounds like it's fitting right in with the scriptures that have been shared so far. It's Proverbs chapter 2, and I'll read verses 3 through 9. Yeah, if thou cry after discernment, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou shalt seek her as silver, and search for her as for hid treasures. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to them that walk in integrity, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and justice and equity, yea, every good path. Thank you, Lord. I receive every good path. We receive that, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, you know, in regard, the Lord actually just gave this to me because I was asking for, a word for to share on this fellowship call, and the Lord just gave this to me as I was praying about, you know, what you were sharing about the economic collapse coming soon. And in fact, I watched a episode last night with Jonathan Kahn about, you know, the Shemitah showing September 27th, and he was explaining on there how exact that it's been. Like when they backtracked through the mystery of the sevens, they got down to the second when the Twin Towers collapsed and, you know, several other things. So it's definitely slated to happen. It's just, as you know, as he was saying on there, it's dependent upon how much God's people fast and pray. But what he was sharing on there, which I agree with, is it's going to be revival coupled with judgments, which is, it seems to be increasing. Both, you know, both seem to be increasing to me. And the work that the Lord has been, you know, doing in Charity and I and loved ones in our family, we've been just witnessing some wonderful breakthroughs and answers to prayer, both for, you know, the Lord to cleanse our own hearts and draw us closer to him, and then for breakthrough for family who are just, well, not quite on the path that that they need to be on yet, but we know God is working, and we're just really encouraged. So I kind of personally am getting the sense it's going to be some of both. It's just how much will be dependent on, you know, a lot of things. And I agree with the recent email that's been recent email update from UBM, you know, what's shared on there about the need, the great need for repentance and spiritual warfare. And so I'm just, Lord, I just pray for grace, that you give us grace and lead us by your Spirit each day to enter more and more into that, Lord, and that we just walk out what you require for each one of us, do our part, and continue to do your good work, Lord, and prepare us. Thank you for your promises here in this word, Lord, that that you will reveal every good path, Lord. And your word says in Romans 12:2 that we can come to know, Lord, what your good and well-pleasing and even your perfect will is for each one of our lives, Lord. And that's what I want. I want nothing less than your perfect will, Lord. And so I just pray for grace to enter more into that. And in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Michael?
Yeah.
You know, pain is covered by the blood of Jesus, and we're commanding your nose to for the pain to be gone in the name of Jesus, and we're just going to thank the Lord for that. I've kind of done that before with peppers, and I know how it hurts. So anyway, but what I wanted to say is, you said last time you wanted us to get a word specifically for what we're fasting and praying about. I think that's what you said.
Yes, ma'am.
And so this is the word I received this morning. Micah 7. Wait a minute. Yeah, Micah 7:17. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God, and shall fear, and shall fear because of thee.
Amen. And let's see here. Amen. That's good.
Michael, I
yes,
just
ma'am.
Wanted to say, I got Proverbs 2:1-9, same as Chad earlier today too. I just chose to read the Jeremiah one instead, but it's just awesome that, you know, we both got the same scripture, and then Gaynold had this, you know, same type of wording about the shepherds and feeding. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that happens a lot. That happens a lot. Anybody else get a word?
I did. I got Psalm 1, and my finger landed on verse 3. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm just going to read the whole psalm. It's only 6 verses. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. And the other day, too, I was reading what Chad read there in Proverbs 2. I was just reading that, too, I think it was the day before yesterday. I thought that was awesome that that came out a couple times there. That's all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Okay, anybody else? It looks like all of these are kind of fitting. Let me go ahead and give mine because it kind of goes along with Gaynor's and Marlene and everybody else's. I got Ezekiel 44, starting out in verse 12. We'll go through 16. Because they ministered unto them before their idols and became a stumbling block of iniquity unto the house of Israel. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord God, and they shall bear their iniquity, and they shall not come near unto me to execute the office of priest unto me, nor to come near to any of my holy things, unto the things that are most holy. But they shall bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet will I make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. Praise God. What he's talking about there is the people that have backslidden and do come back. They're not going to be in that special place that the bride is. The bride's going to have a special place. They're not going to be able to minister like the bride is. And that's all that's saying. They're going to come back. They're going to be okay. It's just that they're not going to be into that special place. Amen. Okay. Anybody else?
I just got Jeremiah 5, but I think I'll read 4 and 5. I just said, it's Jeremiah 3, 4, and 5. Will thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest.
Amen.
That was it. I think it was just coinciding with what you guys were.
Yeah.
Just the Lord pouring out his anger on on the wickedness, and just giving us an opportunity to repent and come back to Him.
Yeah, that's pretty neat, isn't it? This is pretty neat. Okay, Angelica, you had one.
That was me. Sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who was that? Claudia?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm getting y'all mixed up here.
Yeah, okay. I didn't open the Bible to get this, but I feel like I should give it anyway. It's been on my mind the last number of days, and here it is Thursday, and I was listening to Sunday's Bible study, and he was saying the same verse that has been on my mind, and that's Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. They overcame the enemy. That's what God's given us. He's given us authority over all that enemy. Amen. All right, anybody else? This is right before the man-child anointing.
Yeah, Michael, sure, what I got this morning, I put my finger down on Mark 10:39-40. But I'll start reading in 36. And this is about Jesus and his disciples. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, we are able. And Jesus said unto them, the cup that I drink ye shall drink, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand or on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for them for whom it hath been prepared. And as I was reading that, it just felt like the Lord was saying, that was really what the religious people or the people who have a lot of idols, and they think that they're okay with the Lord and they'd like to be sitting on his right hand, but they're not willing to go through the trials and die to self and turn the other cheek and do the things that the Bible says to be able to enter the kingdom. So that's what I got this morning.
Amen. That's true. Right now, all of these verses we're getting, if you look at them, they're warning us not to backslide. That's what he said. Don't get caught up in not going ahead and dying to self. There's been people that did that and have paid the consequence for it and will pay the consequence for it. So it's essential now that we just carry on and keep going up the mountain and stay in the race. Don't stand in the racetrack. You need to be moving in the racetrack. Amen. And by that, when I say that, we need to be manifesting Jesus in our life. You know, turning the other cheek and not allowing things to get to us in any kind of way. We need to be in the rest of Christ, abiding in Him, knowing that He's doing the work around us in these circumstances that we found ourselves in. If you understand, and you know, you've heard David say it, and me say it, and other people say it, that God orchestrates everything that comes up in front of us. If you're having troubles, you know, when I have troubles, the first thing I ask the Lord is, Lord, is it me? Is there some sin that I've done, you know, and I feel okay about it? Then I know it's a test of my faith, and so I just command it to go. But if it's a sin, then I need to find out what that sin is. Of course, you know, 99% of the time, we already know what the sin is, and we just repent of it and get back on track with the Lord. But don't give up. This path that He has every one of us on is for a purpose, and that's so that we can bear much fruit in the days ahead for Christ's kingdom. You're bearing fruit when you die to self. You're not bearing fruit if you don't die to self. You're actually helping the devil out. That's what you're doing. So we don't want to help the devil out at all. He's got enough help. We want to hinder everything that he, you know, does around us. We don't want to give him any kind of an opening to get us off track at all. So anyway, this is what these verses are telling me, is that we don't want to fail now. We're too close to this thing. We're too close to the door shutting on the bride. And there's going to be a lot of disappointments, but there's also going to be a lot of hallelujahs as well, because the bride's that special place. Amen. Okay, anybody else? I'm getting excited. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting excited. I don't know if y'all heard the broadcast yesterday or not, but I talked about that Hebrides revival again, but I gave a lot more detail of it, and it's amazing to me that God is the one that orchestrates revival, but he does it through the prayers of the saints. Two old ladies there at the Hebrides that were praying for it, prayed for it for a long time. I don't remember how long they've been praying for, but they've been praying for it for a long time. And God honored it. When I say a long time, about 5 months. I believe the other people were praying for it as well out in the barn there. And 5 months, that's not long. Well, I've been praying for revival for a long time, I tell you. But they were, and that's what brought about that. But what was instrumental to me, there was no great preaching going on. God was just doing a work. People were hitting their knees all over the community. Men who were in abject sin all the time, and that's all they knew, and they didn't care about nothing else, turned their life over to Jesus. You know, Jesus was, that spirit of repentance came down, and they couldn't do nothing but cry out to the Lord. And I believe with all my heart, we're going to see the same thing happening in the days ahead. I don't know how God's going to do it. It looks like it might be through the fear of God that it may do it. You know, the fear of God, ever how he wants to do it. If it's just by letting them see something, destruction or whatever. Or just dropping down and say, okay, buddy, it's your time, you know. Those people that you've been praying for, they're going to be dropping to their knees like flies, calling out to the Lord. Praise God. Boy, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for all the people that I've been praying for over the years to get saved. Even people that call themselves Christians, and I know they don't know, you know. They're hung up in religion, but they're going to be coming in a mighty way. They're going to be bearing fruit because we prayed. Amen.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am?
I listened to that and really enjoyed it, but I was picking up your broken heart. It just really ministered to me because your heart is just broken, you know, for the people. And the revival, you know, it's serious. You're really wanting revival, and we know it's going to happen, you know, if we just keep praying. But anyway, I appreciated your message last night.
Yeah, me too. I've been praying for it for a while. I like to research the old revivals because it tells me how it's brought about. And I just explained to you how it's all brought about. And it's by prayer. It's all by prayer. Praise God. And I know there's been some very serious Christians praying for revival in this country. And I believe we're going to see I know we are. The Bible tells us we're going to see one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen in the history of man fixing to take place. Praise God. And we need to be ready to accept these people into the kingdom and teach them what it is to be a disciple. And that's the one way that can happen is if we're right ourselves. And, you know, God, boy, God's grace and His mercy is so good. We can, if you're just doing all you can do and you know to do, ever how little it is or ever how much it is, He's going to honor that. He's going to honor it. And all of a sudden, you're just going to come into knowledge. You're going to come into perfection because you are fervently seeking the Lord. And I believe that. I believe He's going to grow everybody up. And He's doing it right now. We've seen people come in, or new Christians that are learning so quick now, where it's taken 30 and 40 years for other people, you know. They're learning quick now. It's just awesome to watch. It's an awesome thing to watch. Okay. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share?
I have a question.
All right, go ahead.
And it's just concerning, just coming into perfection in Christ. I know the Bible says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And it's like you said, it's been my experience. The Lord raised me up pretty quickly. And I was just, I'm going through wilderness myself, but I was wondering, I know that a man can receive nothing unless it comes with the Lord. And I just kind of find myself sometimes wondering what exactly am I trying to attain to, because, I mean, I don't know exactly where the Lord wants me to be, 30, 60, 100, I don't know, but sometimes I find myself just striving so much to just consume so much of the Lord, and I just was wondering if it's the same for someone maybe who doesn't have that desire. Or is content in their walk.
If you're content in your walk, you're not striving, are you? You're not running the race. You're standing. That's the way I look at it. And if somebody else has got something else, let me know. But if you're content where you are, that you're going as far as you're going to go, you're standing. Matter of fact, you may be sliding backwards. We all should be striving to be just like Jesus. And if you want to know what it is to be like Jesus, read Matthew 5 and 6 and 7. Read the Sermon on the Mount. That's what that is. And He tells you how to live your life, you know. Turn the other cheek. When somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other to it. All of those things is dying to self. That's what He wants. He wants us to die to self and what our self life wants. And He wants us to die to the world and all its draws. The world draws you away from Christ. It really does. It draws you away from Christ. You know, I found out, you know, going back and forth to Arkansas, that if I sat down there and watched the news, I'm just going to watch about 10 or 15 minutes of the news on TV. 4 hours later, I'm getting up out of the chair. That took away a lot. It takes a lot out of me. At times, if I'm not real careful when I go back to Arkansas, and I'll tell you why, because I live here in Tennessee with like-minded believers, and we're all striving for the same thing. We don't have TV. We don't have the things that people in the world don't want, the things that the people in the world have. We kind of help each other out in that respect. But when you're out there like y'all are, I know it's hard. But it just makes it that that you should be that much more, you should persevere more to get rid of the world and to get rid of all of that stuff around you and just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. That's the main thing right there, is just keeping your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus. And you keep your eyes focused on Him. What is Jesus? That's the Word, isn't it? And you keep your eyes on that, you keep into that, and you pray, I guarantee you, you'll be successful in your walk with the Lord. And He'll help you out. He'll show you things. It's when we get lackadaisical and complacent in our walk with Christ that the devil slips in. And the next thing you know, you find out that you've messed up. And if you mess up, you just repent and get back on the road. But you have to be going forward at all time. You can't just be standing still and think that everything's okay. I know it's easy to do. You know, it's easy to be think, okay, I'm okay. I can do this today. No. The Lord honors your respect for Him and your trust in Him. And He'll reward you much in the end. And even in this lifetime, He says. And I know He will. So I hope that helps you, Angelica.
Yes, it does. Because I know, like many, when you pray for a hunger and a thirst after righteousness to follow after Him and to give you a fervency for Him, and you know, sometimes it just feels like you know, you don't want to get into works, but at the same time it's like, good Lord, like, what am I trying to attain to? But the Lord gives you the desire to continue to just feed yourself, you know, feed yourself the Word and more of Him. And I just wanted to kind of you know, make sure that I had an understanding of you know, that it's Him and not just me trying to strive to attain something that, you know, that the Lord doesn't have for me. So.
Amen. Amen. Yep. Well, it takes discipline. And I'll be the first to admit that it takes discipline. And sometimes we've got this McDonald mentality, you know, we'll drop up there and get what we want and get on out of there and enjoy the fruit. Well, the Christian walk is not like that. It's digging. Isn't that what he said? He said, you got to dig in this thing and find out these little treasures that God has for us. And, you know, God has really given us a roadmap through the revelations He's given David in these Bible studies. And we can go in there, and you can take a Bible study, and I've done this, take a Bible study and go even deeper than what David did and find out some more revelations, find out deeper revelations of God in these Bible studies. And that's awesome. It's awesome to do that. We do that. We have a Bible study here on Wednesdays, and we go through the books. I think we're in, Weakness, the Way to God's Power right now. And we like two chapters left in it. And we've really had a good time studying these things, going through these Bible studies and finding out the revelations. There's probably around 15, anywhere from 10 to 15 people at any given time at these Bible studies. And everybody gets a little piece, you know. They get a little piece of the puzzle here. Somebody else will get a little piece of the puzzle there. And next thing you know, it's we've gone, you know, to an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours sometimes, and hardly ever get through the thing, you know, because we love the Word and we want to find those little nuggets that God has for us. And it's just a blessing. It's just a blessing. I know some of you, or if not most of you, have done the same thing, is take a Bible study and and go even deeper than what David did. Amen. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I'd just make a comment on when he was talking before about being content where they were. I think back to one of the guys that was in our church, the church we used to belong to. Well, he was a teacher in the school that our kids, parochial school where our kids went to school at, and we were sharing some true gospel with him, and he kept telling us he didn't want to hear what we were saying. He kept saying, "I'm just so content where I'm at. I just feel so good where I'm at." And I'll bet you, if you talked to a lot of the people that were in that church, they would tell you the same thing, that they're just so content where they're at, and they don't want to go any further.
Yeah, we were talking, I think it was David, might have been Kurt too, was talking about one of the guys earlier in being here, that came here. And he got to a point to where he said, "Well, I've heard all of David's Bible studies, and I don't want to hear any more." And he factioned out because of his didn't want to go any further than what he had already. He heard them all, and therefore he knew them all. No, that's just a start. That's just a start. That's a starting point. You go further by the Lord. The Lord gives you the rest. You know, He gives you deeper and deeper meanings. That word of God is so deep, y'all. It is so deep. And for someone like Marlon was talking about, to say that they're content, well, they're in stagnant water. Stagnant water is not going to, it's death. That's the Dead Sea. Amen. All right, anybody else? This is good. Come on, y'all, help me out.
Hello, Michael.
1 minute.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Who was that? I think that was Angelica, but she went off somewhere and she got knocked off some kind of way. Go ahead, Gano.
Okay. I was just going to share. You mentioned that when you go back to Arkansas, how it's kind of a different situation, and you know, like it was last week or the week before when I went through this trial, and initially I had a dream that wasn't really so good, but then, a couple of days after that, you know, after I, you know, called for prayer and all this, I had another dream, and it's so, you mentioned that being with like believers makes such a difference. And in this, the second dream that I had, I was working in a school cafeteria. And I had a big pot of some kind of food in my hands, and I looked out into the dining area, and there was someone coming in with a gun, and I thought, oh no, but my hands were full, so I wanted to close the kitchen door, but my hands were full, so I just took my toe and, you know, kind of, you know, like you would, just was going to close the door with my toe, but, you know, I wasn't careful to make sure that it was actually closed. I just give it that little tap or whatever it was that I did, and then I went to set the kettle and pot of whatever I had in my hands down, and then I was going to come back over there. Well, I put that kettle down, and I looked over towards the door, and here it was open, just a crack, just a couple inches, and this person with a gun was peering in the door, looking at me. And I thought, well, this is not good. But the amazing thing was, I mean, I no more than thought that. And then the rest of the kitchen staff, along with me, we went over there and totally pushed this person right out of the cafeteria room, you know, where people would sit down to eat. And I just, that's what it made me think of. It's like, it was like the brothers and sisters of the Lord were with me, and together we pushed it out, you know, and that is really, you know, when we're together in agreement in what we believe for, there's so much power in that. And it was like there was nothing to it, and this evil person with the gun was gone. That was it. But anyway, it was so different from the first dream I had, because somebody you know, was after me, but I was all by myself and felt defenseless, I guess. But anyway, that when you were sharing that there's such a difference from when you're home and then when you go back, that's really what that made me think of, because that's exactly what I thought when I had that dream, that it's the power of, you know, brethren working together and agreeing in prayer, and we can overcome. There's power in that. And that was just what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Well, that's so true. That is so true. Thank you, Lord. So if you've got a prayer partner or somebody that is right there with you, doing the same things that you are, man, that all the time y'all can spend together is good. That's good time. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody got anything else they'd like to share? A word? A dream? Anything?
Can we pray for an upper room experience, like an Acts?
Absolutely we can. Yes, ma'am. Well, Father, you heard her, and you can hear me too, because I really, really want to hear that wind of the Holy Spirit come through and shake the buildings that we're all in, Lord, and to just fill us up completely with your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, we want that, and we, Lord, show us that our hands are clean and we've got a pure heart, Lord. Show us that. If there's anything that's hindering that, Lord, show us that. And Lord, if we've got these pure hands and a clean heart, let your Spirit fall down upon us, Lord, and revive our spirits, Lord, in a mighty, earth-shaking way, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your gifts will be in operation fully, Father, as you do this for us. And we thank you for it, Lord, that you will bring about a true God-sent revival, Holy Spirit-filled revival, Father, with signs, great signs, miracles, and wonders happening, Lord. And I know it's going to happen, and I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else want to pray something with the Lord? Listen, we have an open window to heaven. This is the time. If you've got anything that has to be done, that needs to be prayed about, boy, this is the time to do it. We're seeing prayers answered right and left. People want more revelations in the Word, and they're getting it the next day or that night or whenever they lift up the Word, they're getting it right then. The Lord opening up their eyes to see. That's just awesome what God's doing. All right. Anybody want to talk about anything else?
I would like to pray. Father, we just ask that you would grant your grace for us, each one of us in this room, to produce fruit 100-fold, Lord, that we would live and act for your glory. And we just thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am?
You know, the Lord has been dealing with wanting me to really understand that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost are inside of us, and we're in them, and they're in us, you know, to really chew that up and know who we are, you know, who I am. But that's where God is. Like, of course, he's in a, maybe a high heaven, but he's inside of us. That's close. That's really close. So, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, but he really is really wanting me to, in fact, I've repented of overeating. Like, I don't overeat very much, but he's getting so strict because I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that's important to him. And so I said, well, Father, forgive me for that. And I've been, you know, and then we're fasting now, which will help, you know, that situation. But he's really fine-tuning me and wanting me to know who I am, you know, in Christ. So do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, sometimes people think heaven is so far away, and heaven is inside of us as well as, you know, everywhere.
Amen. We are the temple of the living God, and he lives inside of us, and he has promises throughout the New Testament that are just unreal. And I've talked about that much in the past, about the promises and how we get to attain this maturity that he wants us to walk in, and that's by faith and acting on that faith. And, you know, we're counted righteous for what we know. So that is a good subject, and it's one that we've talked about a lot. And I want to get into a little bit of unforgiveness tonight, if I might. I know that some people are struggling with it, and because of that, I want to talk just a little bit about that if I can. If you understand forgiveness, it's every bit as important as the faith message. And I'll tell you why. It's because God doesn't give grace to people that don't forgive. Or he doesn't give grace to people who judge. He doesn't give grace to people who are bitter either. In James chapter 2 and verse 1, my brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Are you holding the faith of Jesus Christ our Lord with respect of persons? And James goes on to give the example of having more respect for that rich man than that poor man. And then he talks about another form of respect that's also real common. James chapter 2 and verse 8. Howbeit, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, although James was speaking primarily to the 12 tribes, we read on, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are of the dispersions, greeting. Well, there's a lesson here for us too. He's speaking to us, even though we didn't come from the 12 tribes. Because the law was a type and a shadow of the grace of the New Covenant Testament, wasn't it? James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's become guilty of all. So if you're seeking to be justified by something that you're doing and somebody else is not doing, you need to be very careful. Because there are things that you're not doing that they might be doing. And so James says there not to be a respecter of persons. James chapter 2 and verse 11, he says, for he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou dost not commit adultery, but killest, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So, if you've transgressed in anything, then you've transgressed, right? And if you sinned in anything, then you've just flat sinned. And if you're not willing to give grace to somebody else when they sin, then you need to remember that God doesn't have to give you grace when you sin. And that's a real fine point there that a lot of people forget about. And he warns us in James chapter 2 and verse 12. He says, so speak ye, and so do, as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. In other words, if you want to be judged by a law of liberty, be sure you judge other people by a law of liberty. Some of you might be asking, how come we're talking about judging? Well, because judging primarily is the first thing you do when you don't forgive. You're judging this person that's coming against you unworthy. When Christ already forgave you, and Jesus warned us about that, didn't he? Matthew 6 and 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And he's going to turn you over to the tormentors until you pay your debt to God. Since you didn't think your brother was worthy of having his debt to be canceled either, by receiving forgiveness from you. So that forgiveness is primary in this walk that God's got us on. So James 2:12 says, so speak ye and do so, and so do, as men that are to be judged by a law of liberty. What's that law of liberty? Well, he's using that as an example. The law he's using as an example. If you demand the law be used on somebody else instead of giving them the same grace that the Lord offered to you, but you don't want to demand the law be used to judge you, then you need to remember that the Lord's going to do the same thing to you. He's going to use the law on you. James 2 and 13, he says, for judgment is without mercy to him that hath showed no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment. In other words, what you sow, you reap. Galatians 6 and 7 says, be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you sow mercy, and if you sow forgiveness, and you refuse to judge, as Romans 14 warns against doing, then God's going to do so unto you. You know, there's a time to judge, and there's a time not to forgive, and that's part of the governmental unforgiveness. Right now, we're talking about personal judgment and personal unforgiveness. We're not talking about governmental unforgiveness. We're talking about how dangerous it is and how we can actually sever our own grace and ruin our own future by not forgiving other people. And you can exercise faith until you're blue in the face, but if you haven't forgiven, then your faith isn't going to be very strong because your heart is condemning you. James 3 and 14, but if ye have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. And y'all know what faction is. It's separating people from other people. Especially to separate followers after yourself. That's a factioned person. He wants to get people on his side. Judgment, jealousy, faction, these are all manifestations of unforgiveness. Bitterness, anger, any kind of anger, that's unforgiveness. A lot of people attempt to cause division because of jealousy. And jealousy is wanting something that God hadn't given them. But we all should wait and trust the Lord to provide and ordain for each one of us. And not try to gain it ourselves. Not try to take on a hat that the Lord hadn't given us, right? Jealousy causes people to try and obtain things through their own efforts. A title or whatever. James 3 and 15 says, this wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. And also in the vein of judging, he tells us in James 4:11, speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judges his brother speaketh against the law and judges the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. When we talk about governmental judgment or governmental forgiveness, there's a place where it's legal. But it's not legal to personally be unforgiving. You can't do that. It's never legal for me to judge you or you to judge me. It's only legal for God to judge. And in order to exercise government in the church, God does judge. And he judges and he uses mature people to do it. He does it through human beings, especially somebody who has God's authority. 2 Corinthians 10:6 says, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. So God's going to use mature people in that particular area. He's never going to use somebody who's failing to judge somebody else who's failing. That would be hypocritical, wouldn't it? And the Lord don't do that. There's a lot of people that have made themselves judges, and they think that they have the right not to forgive other people. But if they're usurping that position, if they're seizing and holding that position, office, or power, instead of God giving it to them, then they're going to bring a curse on themselves. How many of you want a curse? I don't think any of us do. And I guarantee you, if you do that, it'll happen. It happens every time. It'll bring a curse all on yourself. James 4:11 says, speak not one against another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. One only is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? Can y'all see what we're talking about here? James is saying the exact same thing. Only one has the right to judge. Only the Lord has the right, and he chooses through whom he's going to judge with. You remember that number 16 tells about the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and how they usurped the authority from Moses and Aaron. What did it do to them? It brought judgment on them, didn't it? God gave authority to Moses and Aaron, but he didn't give it to Korah, Dathan, or Abiram, any of those boys. And the judgment came through Moses and Aaron. And you know what's odd about that? When the judgment came, the people rose up and said, ye have killed the people of the Lord. They blamed Moses and Aaron. And all they did was speak what the Lord told them to speak. Then the earth cracked open and swallowed them all up, didn't it? The Lord can do that. He can do it through anybody he wants to. In that instance, he chose Moses. And the people there thought Moses was the one that was taking that judgment of God away from God. And that's ridiculous. Moses can't open up that ground like God did. You know, and what God do? He ready to whack the whole bunch of them, wasn't he? But Moses in his humbleness and his meekness, and Aaron, both of those men interceded for him. So back to James. He tells us that the only one is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? So we can't take it upon ourselves personally, the right to judge. Only God can do that. the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, "Wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost practice the same things." So if you judge others, you're judging yourself. We can't judge. We can't be unforgiving. And we can't be bitter. Nor factious. We can't be bringing judgment to other people. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth." And James 3:8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is full of deadly poison." How many of you know that? Now, God can tame that tongue. And sometimes we learn obedience through the things we suffer, through these trials that we go through, right? And the Bible said that even about Jesus. He said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, "Though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered." So when we suffer for speaking things we shouldn't, it motivates us to be careful the next time, doesn't it? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying or building up, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear." It's always legal to go ahead and encourage somebody and edify and to build them up, to give that grace. But it's not always legal to tear down, is it? So we have to be careful that it's only the Lord who does that. He's the judge. It's always legal to give grace, but it ain't always legal to judge. Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice." These are all manifestations of unforgiveness. And you couldn't do any of those with that if you didn't have that unforgiveness. Get rid of it. Paul is warning us. And he mentions writing over in Corinthians also, in 1 Corinthians 5:11. "But as it is, I wrote unto you not to keep company. If any man that is named a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, know not to eat." Now, as a sin that is worthy of separating from people, he commands us to separate from any man who is called a brother, in other words, a Christian, if he is committing railing. Now, that word for railing is blasphemia, which is blasphemy, and it means to speak against. And as we just read in James, "Speak out, speak not one against another, brethren." So Ephesians 4:31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice." And if you don't do it, you're going to pay for it. And it's usually pretty quick, too. Generally, your body's going to start going downhill pretty quick. Circumstances will go downhill pretty quick. And the grace of God will go out the door from you. Ephesians 4:32, and he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other." That's the key right there. "Even as God also in Christ," excuse me, "forgave you." There it is again. If God forgave you, you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, you're in trouble. And the Lord's telling you, you're in trouble if you don't forgive. Colossians 3:12, "Put on therefore as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering." So a person who judges other people, he's a proud person. A person who is unforgiving is a proud person. And that's somebody that's put themselves up on a pedestal, and they have a right not to forgive. but they, and they still have the right to judge instead of giving that right to God. They're putting himself in the place of God. So he says that through lowliness, meekness, and long-suffering, we suffer long with other people's errors and problems and weaknesses, right? That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to turn the other cheek. Don't worry about it. Look, do what we try to do around here, and that is look at the spirit of the person. He's got Christ-like spirit, right? You just look at that, and you just look over a lot of stuff. You can look over a lot of stuff. Colossians 3 and 12 says, put on, therefore, as God's elect. Are you an elect? Are you chosen? Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, there you go, any. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. Paul is talking about personal forgiveness here. And we always, always have to give that personal forgiveness every time. We always have to forgive any type of offense against us. And if you don't, you won't be forgiven. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. So if you love your brother or you as yourself, and you're not a respecter of persons, then you're going to want to give that same right, that same privilege to him that you want for yourself. And if you want God to judge you according to grace and mercy, just remember that you have to give that same grace and mercy to others also. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It ain't possible to let that word of Christ dwell in you richly unless you're going to be obedient to what we're just talking about. That word is not going to be manifested in you if you have unforgiveness. That unforgiveness blocks so many things that God could give you, and it opens a door for so many more curses and sin that it'll take over your life. I've seen it do it. I've seen it take over completely people that had unforgiveness in their heart and wasn't willing to give it up. It just made them physically sick, almost unto death. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, then you can't have the word manifested in you. It just ain't going to happen. And all those other bad fruits too, the bitterness, the wrath, anger, clamor, railing, malice, they're going to be manifested. The word's not going to be manifested in you. It don't make any difference what God's promised you. They won't come to pass in your life because God's promises are conditional upon repentance and faith. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto God. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So anything that we do, whatever it is, it don't make any difference. We are to do it in his name as representing him. We're an ambassador of Christ. We represent him to the world. Amen. And that's what we ought to be doing. There ain't nobody that comes around you and puts you in a trial that God didn't already ordain to come around you and put you in that trial. So just forgive them. Just look at them. Say, okay, I see what that is. I'm going to forgive you. I'm just going to bless your socks off. And that's the way we have to do it. You just have to make up your mind you're going to do what God wants and not what your flesh wants. Amen? Anybody got anything you'd like to add to that?
Amen. I have a bunch of scripture the Lord's given me just to kind of you know, the word says that you know, to them who know to do well and do it not, to them it's accounted as, you know, as sin. But the Lord does not account sin unto those that that are in ignorance, and of course the unbelieving. And so right there, if the Lord doesn't judge a man because he's in ignorance, then we really should be fearful to put ourselves in that position to judge someone that the Lord does not even judge. And you know, the word says that those that give mercy shall obtain mercy. And of course, we're to not touch God's anointed. So when we're dealing with the brethren, you know, if you judge another man's servant and you're judging another person, you could be coming against the Lord, and it's very dangerous. And I know the Lord, when you have unforgiveness, he looses the tormentors. And so we have to just repent for those things and ask the Lord to break the power of those judgments off of our own head. I've found that I've done that in my walk, as well as in the past with my parents and things like of that nature. And I had to repent for those things so that I can have the freedom to receive a certain word of the Lord. There are certain things that I couldn't receive in the word until I repented for some things that the Lord had to remind me of that I'd forgotten I had done.
Amen. Sometimes we just, when we're in ignorance, we do it and we don't understand it. But once we get that understanding, it's time to do something about it. Praise God. You know, as a whole slew of Christians out there that call themselves Christians, I hesitate to use that, but believers out there that don't really understand what unforgiveness is. And that's anything that rises up in you that makes you want to strike back at them through your mouth or anything else, that's unforgiveness. That's unforgiveness. Y'all remember that pastor over there in South Africa, I believe it was, that had a little spat with his wife before he left to go to work. Now, he was a preacher, and on the way to work, he had a automobile accident and killed himself. And the Lord took him to heaven. Now, he said, oh, man, I got it made now. I'm up here with heaven. And the Lord told him, the angel told him that this is not, if we didn't send you back, he said, this is not where you'd go. And he took him down to hell and showed him hell. And he didn't like that at all. And when he came back, he was the one that, I believe it was Richard Bonnke, was having a meeting, and they took this dead body. I think he'd been dead for about 3 or 4 days. Took him down in the basement, and a bunch of them got together and went to praying for him. And he came back to life. And, you know, from that point on, he said, if I felt like there was some agitation there in my life or my wife's life between us or anybody else as far as that goes, he said, I'd go get and lock the door in the bathroom so it wouldn't happen. It scared him that much. And that's the way it ought to scare us, too, is we shouldn't have any kind of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness sends everybody with it to hell. That's what happens. If you die with unforgiveness, you're going to hell. Because the Lord says, if you have unforgiveness, I'm not forgiving you. And that should make people tremble. That should make people really fear God. Is that right there? You shouldn't, you know, a lot of people like to hold on to bitterness and anger against people because they done them wrong. Well, you did Christ wrong, so get over it. I'm telling you. You know, I don't know about y'all. You know, I find it, even when I was a sheer pagan, going, I never did carry a grudge against somebody. You know, I could get in a fight with somebody and have a soda pop with him 2 minutes later. I'd forget about it. I always, even back then, I thought, well, life's too short to hold grudges against somebody. And I don't, you know, I know other people that have a different type of upbringing than I had, that they tend to hold on to it because of spirits of rejection and things like that in their life. And I really had a hard time understanding that spirit of rejection, because I'm not cursed with that, or I haven't been, and don't intend to get it either. And so it was real hard for me to understand it, but once I saw it in action, I understood it. And I've seen it in action many, many, many times, and it keeps people in bondage. And that's where that unforgiveness, that they'll hang on to that unforgiveness in their heart. And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous. So we need to understand that unforgiveness can send you to hell, and just get out of that. If you do have some in there and you can't get rid of it, it's hard to get rid of it, ask the Lord. He'll get rid of it for you. I've seen it happen. That happened to a lady here that had been harboring some unforgiveness in her life towards somebody for all of her life. Most of her life. For 60-something years. And she finally got a revelation when the Lord almost took her to the deathbed. Took her to the deathbed. And then she got that revelation. Well, if I don't forgive, I'm going to die. And so she started repenting right then. And you know what? As soon as she did, she got set free totally. I'm telling you, that woman was like a brand new woman. She shone like a new dime, man, after she repented. And all that bondages and all those chains that she had on her for all those many years was broke off of her. And it was awesome to watch. So don't harbor any unforgiveness. You remember that old saying when we were kids, I'm rubber and you're glue, and anything you say bounces off of me and sticks back to you. Well, that's exactly what happens when you have unforgiveness. You have unforgiveness towards somebody, well, that curse comes back on you. So ain't nothing good comes from unforgiveness. I mean, your flesh likes it because you like to sit in there and think and pity yourself over some kind of little old something or other. Or it might be something big. It don't make any difference. That ain't nothing to go to hell on. Amen. All right. Anybody else got any comments on unforgiveness or anything like that?
I would like to say it's the fear of God that... Well, keeps me from, you know, standing any or having any unforgiveness. What you were saying, you know, if anything rises up, you know, I'm real quick. Lord, please, this just hurt me, and I hurry up and take the Lord. And say, Lord, I don't want to have no unforgiveness towards this person, and I asked Him immediately to go to work in my heart and not even let it take root. And He does. He always does. I mean, He's so faithful in that. And that's all I wanted to say. I just think it's really, it's the fear of God that, you know. I mean, you know, you want well, I have a lack of words. I don't know how to say it, but I mean, you know, you're running after the Lord so much, and you want the Lord more than anything in the world. And like you said, Michael, nothing's worse, you know, going to hell over. I mean, because God's not there. I want to be with God. I mean, I want to be with the Lord. I don't want to go to hell. And so just that knowledge right there that, you know, that unforgiveness, that keeps me, you know, having that fear of the Lord that I don't want that at all, you know. And I'm glad He gave that to me because I did for a long time. Well, probably most of my life until I got delivered, I struggled with rejection. And, you know, you get hurt, and and you know, your flesh wants to retaliate and, you know, hold on a grudge or bitterness or whatever, you know, but, you know, when you're with the Lord, you don't want that. You want to do the way the Lord says, because that's the only best way. And I'm just thankful that the Lord, I guess, took me on that journey to show me that. And I just think it's neat. God is so faithful. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Amen. Well, you struck on something else there, too, that kind of reminded me of something. Even you're feeling hurt over something, that's a form of unforgiveness.
Right, exactly. That's why immediately I go to the Lord. Yeah, I say, Lord, you know, that hurt me what this person did or said, or, you know, please remove any ill feelings out of me, you know, towards this person. And also to heal my hurt, because that's, to me, you know, that's an emotional healing you got to now take place. It's like a physical healing. You hurt your arm or leg. Well, you know, your emotions just got hurt, especially, you know, your feelings got hurt, your emotions got hurt. That maybe might run deep or whatever. You, now, Lord, you know, I need you to heal my emotions. You know, so I don't want this to fester. I don't want to hold any unforgiveness towards anyone. So, yeah, I know, Michael, yeah. About being hurt, that's unforgiveness, but... You know, I still go to the Lord, you know, and cry out to Him and you know, want Him to remove any of that so that I don't be in unforgiveness, you know, because now, you know, a healing of the heart has to take place, you know. I don't know. I mean, that's been my experience in the past with, because I had a lot of hurt. I had a lot of... What are they, like, wounded? I don't know. I was just a wounded person, and the Lord really, you know, really has done a work in me, and still is doing a work in me. But yeah, that's been my experience.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
Well, all right. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all of your teachings. We thank you, Lord, for your word that teaches us what you want, how you want us to walk, Lord. If it wasn't for your word, Lord, we'd be lost as a goose out there in a snowstorm. And Lord, that's why it's just essential for us to get in your word and to learn more and more about you, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you put that hunger in each one of us to want to get in the Word, and to learn about you, Lord, and to learn about these things that we need to learn about. And Lord, grow us up quick. Grow us up, mature us quickly, Lord. And we thank you that you're going to do that. You're teaching us the attributes of Christ, and you're teaching us how to walk those attributes of Christ, and it's awesome. It's awesome to see, Father, you're doing a work in new Christians and old Christians alike, Lord. We thank you for that. And Father, we just ask that you be with us tonight and today. I know some of them probably still have daylight out there, but Lord, we just ask for your presence. And Lord, don't forget to give us revival. We want revival. Now, you told us we had an open heaven. I am looking for revival in myself and all my brothers and sisters out there, Lord. We're looking for revival. And that'll help, Lord, encourage us to be getting a dead run after you again, Lord. Just like that Shulamite bride. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that. You're going to give us a good night's sleep with a dream or a vision about the days ahead and how to prepare for it. And those that are looking for answers, Lord, we know you're going to give it to them. And we thank you for it, Lord. And those who have been praying for loved ones, Lord, we know that you're doing a work in them too. And we thank you and we praise you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, bless every one of us tonight with a great good night's sleep. Lord, that we wake up in the morning with supernatural strength and durability. And we praise you for it, Lord. And those that have to work a secular job, Lord, we just ask that you put a smile on their face and a skip in their walk because they know you, Lord. And if people be wanting to know what it is that you're smiling about, and if you just tell them, that's my Jesus. He's right here with me. He's telling me what to do all the time. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for all the work you're doing. Lord, I just thank you for my brothers and sisters. You know how much I love them. You know how much that we all love each other, Lord. Knit our hearts together in one accord, Lord, and I know that we're going to have a shaking one of these days that's just going to just knock our socks off, Lord, and it's going to bless our socks off, and we're just going to love it. I can see it now, Father, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Good night, folks. God bless you.